of Senate Labor and Commerce to order. It is four minutes past two. We have three bills on the agenda for today. Hopefully we'll get two of them out of here. And then we have Senate Bill 92, dental hygienist and assistance, and also Senate Bill 68, Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, and Senate Bill 87. We'll also have a further referral to finance. We do have a quorum, Senator Davis, Senator Pascvan, and myself, Chair Senator Egan. And the first bill we will hear today is Senate Bill 92, and Dana Owen of my staff will offer the changes in CS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dana Owen. I am staff to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, and you should have in front of you a backslash D version of the bill, and you'll need
D
a...
D as in dog?
D as in dog, yeah. Yes, okay. That's correct.
Should we move it?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we bring before this committee the CS for Senate Bill 92, identified as version backslash D.
I'll object for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, after the last meeting, you discussed the I version of the bill. This version contains two changes that were recommended in committee testimony. If you look on page 4 of the bill, on line 2, we have deleted reference to the board being the one that requires the fees. You may recall that we heard testimony that it was the department that was supposed, that should, by statute, set the fees in consultation with the board. That's what this change reflects. In section 5 of the bill, lines 12 through 26, the language has been updated to make notification not as specific. In the original language, we had it, we had the department notifying licensees by mail. In the new language, they can do that by through the web or through the internet. Licenses can be renewed over the web. We heard testimony that that would be a much better way and a much less expensive way for people to handle this. And those are the only two changes to the bill.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Owen. Questions for Mr. Owen? Seeing none. And by the way, Don Haviger of the Division of Corporate and or Corporation Business and Professional Licensing is here to answer questions if any members have any questions of the department. Senator Pascvan?
No.
Is there objection to moving the bill? Seeing none, we'll take a brief at ease. To come forward will be Senate Bill 68, Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank. This has a further referral to finance. Josh Banks for Senator Coghill will be here. Josh, would you like to come forward in case committee members have questions for your son? Entertain a motion.
Are we ready to move it then?
For the record, I'm Josh Banks, intern for Senator Coghill.
And you're here for questions only, right?
And I'm here for questions that the committee may have.
I think we got those solved. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we move Senate Bill number 68 from this committee to the next committee, a referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? So ordered. We'll take a brief at ease. Order, and the next piece of legislation, Senate Bill 87, with a further referral to Finance. Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may, I'll bring my staff in a moment.
Welcome to Labor and Commerce.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, for scheduling this bill. I appreciate that. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Hollis French. I represent West Anchorage in the State Senate. With me is Andy Motoro, the staffer in my office assigned to push this bill along. If I could, I'll just take a minute to read the sponsor statement into the record, since this is the bill's first hearing. SB 87 is entitled the Alaska Medical Care for Seniors Act. Our Medicare system is broken in Alaska. Too many seniors cannot find a primary care doctor. Physicians who do accept Medicare patients are losing money with each visit as the cost of providing care exceeds the federal Medicare reimbursement rate. We can't wait for the federal government to fix Medicare. Instead, we need to act today. This legislation will immediately improve seniors' access to primary care services in Alaska. SB 87 establishes a grant fund for health care providers serving Alaskans who are 65 years of age or over. The grants will be paid to medical providers that increase primary care access for Alaska seniors. All health care providers, including physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants, would be eligible for grants. Access to primary care improves health outcomes and reduces medical costs. Instead of waiting for small ailments to become serious problems, primary care prevents expensive medical treatments. Instead of requiring an emergency room visit, primary care keeps our seniors healthy. Without this bill, doctors can't afford to provide seniors with these crucial preventative services. For most primary care visits, a physician receives $60 less from Medicare than they receive from private health insurance. In some instances, physicians can lose well over $100 per visit. This legislation really is an ounce of prevention that will prevent the need for a pound of cure. It makes fiscal sense. Our seniors have paid into the Medicare system. I urge your support for this legislation to make sure that our seniors receive the care that they deserve. The bill is really before you, Mr. Chairman, because of actions that our United States Senator Mark Begich took last year as the Affordable Care Act was working its way through Congress. He was able to insert a provision in the bill that for the first time ever allows states to, in essence, supplement Medicare payments. This has always been something that was not allowed. States couldn't make up the difference, and so the reimbursement rate was always something we would go to Ted Stevens or Lisa Murkowski and ask them to fix to keep it high enough for physicians to remain motivated to see senior patients. There is an ICER study you have in your bill packet that really, it's just a couple of years old now. It was completed in March 2009. It pinpoints the exact problem about the reimbursement rate, points out that there's a very small number of doctors who are seeing Medicare patients for primary care, probably as few as 265 doctors in all of Alaska who are seeing these patients. And so I think that this bill is a rational way to make it possible for our seniors who have put their shoulder to the wheel, worked hard all of their lives, want to retire in Alaska, add so much to the cultural and social richness of our state, to stay at home and just be able to find a doctor. That's the simple and straightforward idea behind the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator French. Mr. Motoro, did you have anything else to add?
Thank you, Chair Egan. Members of the committee, I'm happy to run through the bill if you'd like, or I'm happy to answer questions, whichever you'd prefer.
Would you like Andy to run down the sectional?
No, I'd like for him to go through the bill.
Absolutely. Starting on page one, for the record, Andy Motora, staff to Senator French. Page one, lines 5 through 7 provide the short title for this act, and that is the Alaska Medical Care for Seniors Act. Section two, starting on page one, line 8, as a new article to Title 18, which pertains to health, safety, and housing. Beginning underneath that, section 1828-200 establishes this grant program in the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The goal of this program is outlined by the second part of subsection A, which states that the purpose of the law is to assist in the provision of primary medical care for seniors by health care providers in this state. Healthcare providers are defined later in the bill, as Senator French mentioned in the sponsor statement. This includes physicians, osteopaths, physician assistants, nurses, physical therapists, occupational therapists, or chiropractors that are licensed in Alaska and qualified to provide primary care services. Moving down to lines 13 and 14 on page 1, this directs the department to award grant funding to eligible providers if funding for grants is made available. C starts on page 2, line 1, and requires the department to adopt regulations to carry out this program. It requires that these regulations match the federal law, which Senator Begich was able to get into the Affordable Care Act, and include application and award procedure, eligibility requirements based on the lack of the ability of a provider to receive reasonable compensation for their services, proof that a grant is necessary to increase primary care availability, a priority for providers that serve a high percentage of medically underserved populations where patients over 65 have been turned away. Currently, this is a major issue in the Mat-Su and Anchorage. That's where a lot of the issue's been born so far. Down at C4 now, there's a bang for your buck provision that gives priorities to the providers which show the greatest increase in patients accepted for the lowest grant amounts. And finally, we also give authority to let them introduce regulations that will, you know, be necessary to carry out this program. We've gone through C, now we're down on page 2, line 16, in subsection D. And this specifically disallows grant funds being utilized to supplement the care of patients with public or private health coverage that adequately compensates the grant applicant for primary care. And this is going to be determined by the department in consultation with the Commissioner of HESS. Subsection E allows for a DCCED to consult with and enter into agreements with HESS to the extent that's permitted by law. And F provides some definitions in the legislation, which we've already gone through. Finally, on the last page are just some revisor instructions relating to other statutes currently on the book within 1828, excuse me. And that's a run through of the bill. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Motor. We do have folks.
If I could just ask a question.
Senator Pascan.
You know, focusing on page 2, lines 13 and 14, what I'm trying to understand is an example, and for if the healthcare provider then says they'll charge, for just $10 more, then they have a higher priority to get the grant than another provider that wants $50 more. Is that, or how does that work?
Well, through the chair, Senator Pascan, I think that's the fundamental idea. But keep in mind that it's not just the lowest price that they're willing to do the job for, but someone who can demonstrate the greatest increase in service, mm-hmm. the lowest grant amount. So it's a combination of I'll see X many more patients for X many dollars. So there's two components. You mentioned the second half, which is the lowest grant amount. But keep in mind that it also has to demonstrate the greatest increase in service for that mm-hmm. for that amount of money.
Correct.
That's the question.
That's enough.
Great. Thank you, Senator Pascan. We do have John Sherwood of the Department here of Health and Social Services to answer questions if needed. We also have Scott Ruby, the Director of Commercial or Community and Regional Affairs, to answer questions online. And we do have Pat Luby of AARP Mr. Luby, if you'd like to testify on Senate Bill 87.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Pat Luby. I'm the Advocacy Director for AARP in Alaska. Many, if not all of you, are aware that many Medicare beneficiaries cannot find a primary care provider. Physicians and advanced nurse practitioners lose money when they see a Medicare beneficiary. Senate Bill 87 would create a grant system that would provide a method for the state to supplement Medicare reimbursement by the federal government. We hope that Senate Bill 87 will provide enough of an incentive so primary care providers will see more Medicare beneficiaries and stop turning patients away when they reach their 65th birthday. These citizens pay their Medicare taxes while they're working. They have Medicare deductibles, they have Medicare copays, and they have monthly premiums that they pay. It's only fair that they should be able to get the health care that they have paid for and deserve. So we think Senate Bill 87 will help get there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Luby. Questions from the committee for Mr. Luby? Great. Thank you very much for testifying, Pat, and taking the time out of your schedule to testify before the committee. We have no one else signed up to testify, and it's the intention of the chair to hold this bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Pardon?
Mr. Chairman, I yes. heard what you said, but I would like some further information before.
You bet. Senator Davis.
Mr. Sir is on the line. You say he's there to answer question only? Do you have any comments to make on this bill?
John Sherwood.
Yes.
Mr. Sherwood, you're here.
He's here.
Right.
Oh, I didn't see you back there.
I'm sorry.
I thought he said you were online.
Yeah, come on forward.
Could you come forward?
Yes. Sorry, I didn't see you raising.
Thank you. For the record, my name is John Sherwood. I'm with the Department of Health and Social Services.
Okay, the question that I have is how you feel about this bill.
Mr. Sherwood.
I'm really prepared to talk about the Department of Health and Social Services' role in this bill. Under the bill, the primary responsibility is with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And there is a specific provision in the federal law, the sponsor reference, that would prohibit the state Medicaid agency, which is my department, from operating this grant program. In the bill, we do have a role to identify medically underserved populations or help identify medically underserved populations and look at adequate reimbursement. We're comfortable that we can work with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development and fulfill those functions, and that's pretty much what I feel about the bill.
Okay, would you go back again and tell me, you said that you are prohibited by federal law not to be able to have this under Health and Social Services?
That's correct. The federal law, the Affordable Care Act and its amendments, when they passed that law, they put in a provision that the grant program could not be operated by the Medicaid agency, which is our department.
It could be done now because we have that change made in the law.
Right.
But it has to be done by some other agency.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Sherwood. Further questions for Mr. Sherwood?
Sure.
Senator Pascavan.
On behalf of the department, do you see a need for this type of service to increase those that might receive care from?
Through the chair, we certainly do and have for a number of years received complaints and observations from our Medicaid, dual eligible Medicaid, Medicare beneficiaries that they have trouble accessing primary care in many of the major communities. And typically for doctors in the state of Alaska, Medicaid pays more than Medicare, but under the rules for Medicare, we can't pay a Medicare provider more than the Medicare allowed amount. So it's limiting on us, even for our duals eligibles.
So there's a need out there.
There's certainly people out there who are having trouble accessing the services.
Any further questions for Mr. Sherwood? Seeing none, thank you very much for testifying. And I was going to bring up Mr. Habiger, but I see he's left the building, so we don't have to bring Department of or Corporation of Business and Professional Licensing back. Again, Senator French, no further questions from the committee, and it's the intention to hold the bill over for one more meeting and answer some of the questions that we had. And again, thank you very much for presenting the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we'll see you shortly.
Very good.
Well, and I just, before we adjourn, want to thank members of the committee for agreeing to move our meeting time back to 2 p.m. There were other members of this committee that had conflicts because of Senate transportation, but your willingness to move the committee meeting back to 2 p.m. has solved that problem. So I thank members for doing that. And with nothing further to come before the committee, we're adjourned at 2:25.